Because that's the bottom line.
Live from Lexington, Kentucky, where it's who cares how many degrees it is. I don't want to get made fun of. Dead Air Dennison, the Bottom Line Sports Rocker podcast with Brad Taylor, live from his home in Madison County, Kentucky. Hi, Brad.
Hello. Thank you for the weather update, by the way. It's very, very topical.
And now, Beer Man from Classic Rock 92.1.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm well, Beer Man. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But you guys, since you don't need the weather forecast, just go ahead and do this on your own.
Hey, all right.
It was better without you.
Smell you later, Dylan. Hey, all right, Beer Man. How are we doing today?
What? You guys want to do this on your own? You have my blessing. I can stop at any time.
So can I.
I don't want to do it by myself.
And that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, as always.
Sports Rocker Podcast.
What a great opening that was. Radio professionals like
literally getting ready to start the NFL season.
Why are yeah.
We kept this thing alive through the off season, only to quit when the first
the first game.
I just can't stand it anymore. Anyway.
Brad, what's on the agenda this evening?
Well, we are sitting here on August 27th. By the time people listen to this, it'll be the 28th or maybe the 29th. But we are in the midst of week one of college football and week zero of the NFL. We are 8 days away now. A week from Thursday will be the first NFL game of the season. Are you guys ready for football season?
1,000%.
I'm ready to watch. I'm not overly prepared to gamble, but we're going to do it.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if the horses are blind. Just load the wagons. If they're playing, we got to bet it. And that's how you have to look at it. We're going to talk a little college football, but your guys' thoughts on the NFL. The NFL preseason is over. Did we learn anything this NFL preseason?
Ravens keep raving.
Oh, yeah, they do. 3-0 against the spread, baby. What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And your Lester Holt.
Lester Holt.
Lester Hayes.
NBC anchor.
I don't play the games you play, but your Lester Hayes thing went really well, I hear.
It did, yep. Short road dogs went really well. So if you just follow the little systems that we had, short road dogs, three or less, blindly, along with the Lester Hayes rule, you did quite well for yourself this summer. So, Beer Man, I ask you, as someone who followed these systems this summer along with me, how do you feel about playing these preseason games of the NFL now?
Oh, I loved it. And I will tell you this. So basically, I had $30 in my account when I started the preseason. I fully intended on putting some money in. I bet almost every single game. I was a little late on two or three over the span of the preseason. My account is now up to $180-something dollars.
Wow.
So that's, you know, a lot of bang for your buck. If you were actually putting real money on these games, you'd be sitting pretty right now. But, yeah, started with 30, finished with 180. You know, don't have to put money into my account as of right now.
So you basically had a 600% return on investment if you went from 30 to 180. So you multiplied your winnings, your bankroll by six times. Is that what you're saying?
That's what it sounds like. I bet the Lester Hayes rule, and I bet on Baltimore, two of the three games. They were one that I accidentally got in late on, I think in week two. But that was the only things that I bet on throughout the preseason.
Well, congratulations to you.
But no, thanks to you.
Oh, no. You're the one who has to click submit at the end of the day. You're the one who has to actually say, I'm doing this. And, you know, and like we always talk about with these systems, you got to play them all. You can't just pick the ones you like and, you know, or just I got busy and I can't do it. Now I went had a losing record because I only played a third of them or something like that. When you play these systems, you got to play all of them because none of us really know which ones are going to hit or which ones aren't going to hit. But history says they will. And that's when we get in trouble. You're either all in or, you know, it's kind of tough to do that. I'm not belittling anything or anyone by saying that. I'm just saying when you play these systems, you got to be disciplined and all in on these.
I was all in. And there it worked out really, really well.
But you know what? That's the past. Now we're looking to the future. And I know you and I, you guys and I, all of us, we have our little fantasy drafts coming up this week. Are we excited for fantasy football coming up? A lot of people have their drafts coming up in the next 8-9 days. What do you guys think about that?
I've said it 100 times. I'm so burned out on fantasy football. Part of the reason that I continue to play is just because I'm in these leagues with a bunch of my friends, and I don't want to be the jackass that's like, I'm out.
Oh, well, I wouldn't think that you would be considered a jackass. But
I think your friends already consider you a jackass.
So. It's fair. But I commission these leagues, so it's a little bit more. Fortunately, the last couple of years, I've just been like, here's when the draft is. Can't make it, get out. I don't care. That was always the hardest part, trying to, well, that and getting the money from some of these people. But figuring out a time that worked out for everybody as far as the drafts go. But I think we've got it figured out.
Well, there you go. Just, make sure that you get all your kickers and defenses early, guys. And that way you can screw the rest of us out of kickers and defenses. And everything will work out, I'm sure.
And if you're lucky enough to have a great kicker, you can always trade it for,
a top-tier running back, Christian McCaffrey,
hey, for instance. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I got offered Justin Tucker for
yes.
Christian McCaffrey? Yeah. That's a classic. What are you talking about? How dare you? Okay, so the NFL season, we have a new starting quarterback in New Orleans. Tyler Shuck is out. Spencer Rattler in. And the Kenny Pickett was traded from Cleveland, so Joe Flacco is officially the quarterback there. Does that change your opinion on either one of those teams as we get ready for the season now?
No, I think Kenny Pickett was gone regardless. And what was the other one?
God. New Orleans, Spencer Rattler over Tyler Shuck.
I mean, Rattler had a few good moments last season in the handful of games he played. I'm not surprised by it. Shuck is probably going to be the guy in the long term. That's going to be a merry-go-round all season long, I feel like.
Joe Flacco is the right call up in Cleveland, mostly because their early schedule is pretty brutal. You don't want to put a rookie, either one of those guys, in that situation. So I agree with Cleveland on that. I also feel like they're somewhat throwing this season away with the hopes of getting Arch Manning, which is ridiculous because the Manning camp has already kind of said he has no intentions of coming out at the end of this year.
Saints win total. When we took it, well, I took it literally, I think like 3 months ago. It was a long time ago. It was 5.5. It was even money then. Now 5.5 minus 190 to go under that total. Would you guys still look to go under 5.5 or maybe go under 4.5 at plus 125?
I probably wouldn't take it at minus 190 at this stage, but right. 4.5 would scare me a little too much. I think 5 is probably going to be about right. I want to say the worst team in the league usually has 4 wins, sometimes 5. So that's right there on the cusp. I think New Orleans could win more games than that, but I'm definitely not taking under at minus 190.
Week 1. Feedback. Week 1 against the Arizona Cardinals. Week 2 against San Francisco. Week 3 against Seattle. But it's in Seattle. Week 4 at Buffalo. Week 5, the New York Giants. Maybe in week 5 they get a win. Maybe in week 6 with the Patriots. Week 7, Chicago. Week 8, Tampa Bay. Week 9, the Rams. Week 10, Carolina. Maybe win number 2. Week 12 after the bye, the Atlanta Falcons. Week 13, the Miami Dolphins. Week 14, Tampa Bay again. Week 15, Carolina returns. I'm not going to say, I'm going to predict that they split that game. The Jets in week 16, that's anybody's guess. That's a toss-up. Tennessee the next week, maybe a toss-up. So you're coming up with maybe 4 wins. And you got them under 4.5, correct, Brad?
Under 5.5, even money. 3 months ago.
Yeah. I think you got a pretty good bet there, man.
CLV, baby. Closing line value. When you look at a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback, That was what I was looking at. But now you got Spencer Rattler. He's a second-year quarterback. And he, if you look at his numbers, he was not good last year. I know he might have shown signs, but his numbers say he was not very good last year at all. But I feel very good about that one, the Saints going under. That's one where getting ahead of the masses kind of helped with that one. What about the Browns now? Flacco's your quarterback. Gilbert from Oregon is your second teamer. Dion's kid is your third teamer. They're also at 5.5 wins. Got to put a little juice on the under there. So, yeah, they're under 5.5 is minus 130 for the Browns. How would you play 5.5 wins for Cleveland now with no Kenny Pickett?
I probably wouldn't play that for two different reasons. Joe Flacco has got experience. I think he mentally will will them to a win or two. And that defense is still really solid. So, you know, with a quarterback as experienced as that and a defense as good as they potentially could be, you know, I don't think that this team has delusions of grandeur, but I do think that they could upset a handful of teams, you know, walk away with 6 or 7 wins realistically. I think that's probably the ceiling, but, you know, the floor is still probably 4 or 5.
Stop me when you think that there is a potential win. Week 1, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Stop. Have a time. What?
I only say that because Cincinnati hadn't won a game in 4 years for the opening weekend. It's their biggest rivalry, and it's a division game. Now, will I be taking Cincinnati to win that game? Probably so.
Probably.
Brad and I have had this discussion as to whether or not Cincinnati would be the right pick in Survivor. That's a tough call.
It is a tough call.
There's no way.
Bengals are ready this year.
Probably.
A lot of the sharps are on the Bengals. This line has gone from 5.5. It is now 6 most places, basically all places. Bengals over Browns. There is no way on God's green earth I'm laying 6 points with the Bengals in Cleveland in a division game week 1. Not a chance. But 9.5 wins, there's a lot of sharp people who are now on the Cincinnati Bengals going forward, going over that total. So 9.5 wins for the Bengals this year.
Back to the let's finish the Cleveland Browns schedule first.
I'm sorry?
Cincinnati week 1, at Baltimore week 2, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, at Pittsburgh, Miami at home.
That's a win.
At New England. You think the Browns are going to beat Miami?
I think Miami is the best chance at a win in the early season.
Week 8 at New England.
Eh.
Week 9 is a bye. Week 10 at New York to play the Jets.
Potentially could be a win.
Baltimore in week 11. The Raiders in week 12.
Could be a win.
It's in Las Vegas. Week 13, San Francisco. Week 14, Tennessee.
Could be a win.
Chicago. Buffalo. Pittsburgh. At Cincinnati. And there you go. Oh, how many you got?
Well, Cincinnati, the end of the season could potentially be a win because you don't know how hard Cincinnati's going to be playing. So that's always going to be a question mark.
True.
But like I said, when you're talking Flacco, although I don't think Flacco is going to start the whole year.
I don't either.
And that defense is legit. So, you know, you still got Myles Garrett who can absolutely wreck a game on his own accord.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the defense. I don't know that the defense is, I mean, they're going to be better than the average bear. Yeah, but I don't know that they're going to be the defense that they had, say, what was it, 3, 4 years ago when they had the great defense?
Yeah, but like I said, Myles Garrett can completely disrupt a game. That can turn the tide. I think Joe Flacco, as your quarterback, although, you know, he is definitely past his better years, he can still turn it on for a game or two where he is, you know, somewhat elite.
He's certainly not afraid to throw the ball.
No.
Oh, he added to their passing game last year. Okay, Brad, what do you think?
For the Browns, I am not on board with going on the under, having to lay all that chalk, but there's no way I'm taking over. So if I had to say one, yeah, this is less than a 5.5 win team. That's my, you know, because do you really think Flacco is starting 17 games?
Mm-mm. No.
Probably not. So that means those rookies have to start several games this year. And if you're one of those rookies, even if you're Deion's kid, I don't know how well it's going to end for you if you have to go out there and throw them out there every day. Because even if this team had Deshaun Watson, how many teams is this? How many games is this team winning? You know, it's not like they're going to go out and win nine if they had a good quarterback right now. They got a lot of other issues besides quarterback, but yeah,
a lot of issues.
So I would.
What is the situation with Deshaun Watson now?
He is out for the year.
Is that a health thing?
What Achilles. He messed up his ankle.
Achilles.
I think in December.
He messed Achilles. Up. Yeah, there he messed up his Achilles back. So that's a year. So he's out the whole year.
Couldn't get a good massage for that to get it back in place.
Oh, very good. Very good. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm on the under as well. And I know a lot of sharps really don't like the Browns. I know they're showing up at the bottom of a lot of people's lists.
Well, there you go. We will talk some win total overs and unders next week. Our best bets for the win totals going into the season, the NFL season.
I don't think we're going to be able to talk win totals next week because We gotta put a bet down on all 16 games.
Okay, well, we could still add our favorite win totals at the end. I mean, it's unless you guys want to do it right now, we could do it right now if you like.
I don't know the win totals very well.
Well, there you go. Exactly. So we will just study ahead, do your homework, and we'll ask you next week, both you guys, your favorite win totals going into the season because a week from Thursday, we have our first NFL game. So anything else? The biggest news of the week, of course, Travis Kelce is now going to get married to Taylor Swift. 700 yards in the desert, over or under. That's his prop, receiving yards. What do you think, guys? Over or under? No way he gets over that, right?
No way.
No, for the simple fact that with Rashee Rice now out for 6 games, I don't know who Patrick Mahomes really has to throw it to.
Hollywood Brown is out for a few weeks too, right?
I think so.
Xavier Worthy is your guy. That's the guy who rises up the list with him. So, yeah, he's going to be, you know, once Rashee Rice comes back, he was injured last year. So is it really a guarantee he's going to be to that form that he was pre-injury last year? Who knows?
It's certainly a situation to keep an eye on because, you know, Kansas City is pretty good about being aggressive when it comes to claiming players and filling holes. I don't think that they're going to just wait for Rashee Rice to come back. I mean, he's a good receiver, yes, but that's 6 weeks, man. That's a third of the season.
This is truly my thought process. He probably won't say it before the end of the year. I think this is Travis Kelce's last year for the reason that he just got engaged and I think he's 38 years old.
Wait, Travis Kelce got engaged?
Yeah. Huh. It's a big deal. I was all over the radio with it. Huh. Travis Kelce's one of these guys. He's going to have maybe 2 games this year where it's 111 yards, and he's going to have a couple games this year where it's 3 catches for 20 yards. Mm-hmm. So you just got to figure out where it's going to happen. But my mentality would be that I think it's going to go over slightly. 700 yards.
Okay. I would take the under if I was taking it, if I was playing that. Yeah. Give me the under. But, you know, I don't feel good about it.
I'm going under also because, in sports, a good woman will bring a good man down anytime. So, yeah, that's there you go. So there you go, folks. We had a great.
But I think you buried the lead, Brad.
Oh,
I think the big story this afternoon really is the fact that Tommy DeVito has been picked up by the New England Patriots.
Oh, win total. Hi. What? I don't know. Anyway. Exactly. Yes, I did bury the lead, if you call that a lead. So, yeah, there you go. Anything else in the NFL world? Because now it's the dark time. It's that week before the first game. Nobody's playing this weekend. Is there anything kind of you're looking for in the next few days that might help you in handicapping? Because I know one thing. I'm looking to take several underdogs, if not everyone on the board next week.
I was looking at the week one matchups, Brad. I don't think that's a bad idea. There are some games that I feel strongly about where the favorites are going to win. There are also several games where I could see an upset coming. So yeah, I kind of like. I'd like to hear more from that little brain of yours, your little pea-sized dinosaur brain. What are you looking at for the under specifically?
The under.
I mean the upset.
There are some good ones. There's a lot of division games week one, a lot of more division games than usual. They usually, you know, they play the last couple of the season with the divisions, but there's a lot more division games than you usually see in a week one. But I'm going to ask you guys something. Biggest favorite on the board is Denver at home. Now 8-point favorites over Tennessee, rookie quarterback. But I think I'm going in their Survivor because I am signed up for Survivor.
Did you sign up for, Brad?
I wound up just signing up for one.
Did you?
Yeah, I did one. When I talk to a lot of people out there, all these people who are coming out there and doing that, and I'm just like, you know what? Just let me have one. Just to make sure I do it. But I only did one. But I will say this. I am leaning right now, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do this. Week one. Jacksonville, 3-point favorite over Carolina. It's a non-conference game. Got a team in Jacksonville. That's what I'm going to do first week Survivor. Am I on to something or am I just on something?
The only thing I don't like, you have a rookie head coach. And I kind of started paying attention to that a few years back. I know there was one year where it was like rookie head coaches were 1-4 in their first game. I want to say that was like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And so I tried to avoid rookie head coaches, in their first game. That's my apprehension there.
You're taking who?
Jacksonville at home, 3-point favorites over Carolina.
Yeah. Okay.
And the thing about this Survivor, there's going to be so many people on Denver in this one. They're the biggest favorite. But then again, you look at some of these other ones, these division games, a lot of people are going to have Philly. A lot of people are going to have the Washington at home against the Giants. Those are big touchdown type favorites as well. But you're also trying to get to the end. And, you know, like Philly, I got to save them for, you know, in theory, you try to save them for those holidays where there's only a couple of games. Philly's on one of those. So it's kind of like everybody's going to probably be on Philly or Denver. So I kind of want to be different. And we remember last year, the biggest favorites went down first 3 weeks of the season.
They did. Just trying to.
I know it's a road team. I still like Arizona against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty solid pick. You know what? I mean, I like Denver this year, and I know they're the biggest favorite on the board. But for me, part of that wants to be like, look, let's just get through week one where we can actually get a look at some of these teams. But I'm leaning toward Arizona as my first pick of the year.
Two things about that, Beer Man. Let's not forget about how bad New Orleans was supposed to be last year. And they did, prophetically, turn out to be a horrible team last year. But the first 2 weeks of last year, they were
putting up 40.
They were putting up 40 points in the games.
Yeah.
And Brad, why would you save Denver? Are you saving them for Tennessee in week two, Indianapolis in week three?
Giants. They play the Giants at home later on. And that's the year. That's when I'm going to take Denver. Okay. They play the Giants later on. And that's that's a spot where, yeah, Tennessee's bad, but the Giants are pretty bad too. As much as some people want to say they're not. But that's the spot I'm looking to take Denver. That's down the line a little bit. And if you look at Jacksonville's schedule, if you think about this long term, you got to pick 20 teams. So I know everybody wants to get, you got to get through week one. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And if you're legitimately trying to get to the end of this, which I don't know if I am, but I want to make it a valuable commodity maybe in about 6 weeks or so. But, you want to have it set up for the end where you haven't screwed yourself out of, you know, all kinds of trying to make it to the end. So This is Jacksonville's spot. If I lose, hey, I lose. But this is the best spot for Jacksonville all year. They played Carolina. Yeah, I don't trust them on the road. I don't trust that quarterback on the road. I'm taking Jacksonville, probably, is my week one survivor. And I know a lot of people are going to say it's crazy. But I also thought I was crazy first 2 weeks of last year. We did all right until we got stupid. But I mean, yeah, exactly. So it's this is the time where you're just trying to look ahead and find a team's best option. And this is Jacksonville's best option the rest of the way.
And if you're planning on selling your ticket after week six or seven, it will be more highly prized and valued if you have a Jacksonville win, or if you have a Broncos win still card to play.
Yes, because you're trying to sell this. It's a commodity. And people who are going to buy these for a big price, they are literally going to look at this, okay, who's he got left? People aren't just going to buy these and say, well, just give me an entry. That's all I need. Well, no, they're going to look to see who he's got left, who's, you know, already been used. So, yeah, this adds value to it if Jacksonville can pull it out, because I'm not going to fool myself and think I can go 20 weeks in this. So I want to make this.
Jacksonville have certainly added a few new and interesting pieces. I will give you that. And I do think that Trevor Lawrence has, if he hasn't got it by now, he's got some sort of massive chip on his shoulder from seasons gone by. And he's healthy.
By the way, this
I talked about this the other week, but I do have Jacksonville winning that division. So obviously I have a little bit of faith in that team. Like I said, my only apprehension is literally a rookie head coach in his first game.
Was that on the show that I wasn't here for?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, nobody listened to that show. That must be why it's news to everybody.
Well, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, it is awesome. It is cool that you're a jerk.
So what other value plays, what other upsets do you see? Not that that's an upset. What upsets do you see in week one?
I like Dallas getting the points on that Thursday night game. You're going to give me seven in a divisional game with a team like Dallas that could put up some points. That total's 46.5. It hasn't moved. That's a spot for me. I really like on that Friday night game, the Chargers.
I love the Chargers.
Getting three on a neutral site. So there's no home field there for that one. That's a spot where, yeah, you look for that early. You love the early season upsets. I'm looking to take a few of these teams on the money line as well in week one. That's one that I'm looking at, but yeah, I'm really looking at Dallas the first night, even though the defending champion usually does very, very well in that opening game. The difference here is this is a division game. You go back to those opening night games, those are usually non-conference games. Those are usually not exactly rivalries, but this is a rivalry, and Dallas getting a touchdown here, it speaks to me. And so, yeah, that's one I'm definitely looking at. Also, here's an interesting game, San Francisco at Seattle. San Francisco is only a 2.5-point favorite there. As much as I like the Niners here to win this division and maybe get a number one seed, I wouldn't be against going with Seattle against the spread in this first game.
Yeah, I paused when I saw that game, too, because I am down on Seattle this year. But at the same time, San Francisco really has an issue with wide receivers right now. I'm not sure, other than Kittle and Ricky Purcell, who Brock Purdy's going to be throwing the ball to, that I suspect will be a low-scoring game. Seattle plus 2.5, just looking at that line is a bit suspect.
If you look at a couple of more divisional games in the NFC North, Detroit getting 1.5 at Green Bay. That's one that speaks to me a little bit. And I'm sorry, Beer Man, but I might have to take the Bears on the opening Monday night game against the Vikings. Getting 1.5 right now at home against a rookie quarterback in Minnesota who's never started a game. I'm not a big Caleb Williams guy yet, but you're going to make me lay 1.5 on the road in division with a quarterback that's never started, that's not something I want any part of.
Especially on Monday Night Football prime time. They didn't do J.J. McCarthy any favors in that game for sure. Minnesota's defense is still really, really good. You know, I that's one of the games that I'm leaning toward the under. It's 43.5. I think that's going to be a lot of nerves in that game on Minnesota's side, but I think the defenses are going to step up pretty big in that game. So I expect a lower scoring game. So I'm kind of all over the under 43.5 on that one.
Speaking of unders, Brad, while you were out, I placed my first wager for the season.
Ooh.
And I took the under in the Yeah, it's still 44.5 in the Texans-Rams game. The Texans defense, we know, is going to be good. Matthew Stafford may not be fully healthy in that first game. So I took the 44.5 under in the Texans and Rams game.
Well, that line started 46.5 down to 44.5. So you got some value there, and you're on the sharp side for sure. And if you look at the betting splits, 87% of the tickets are on the over in that game. But 75% of the money is on the under. That is as sharp as it gets, and that is a sharp play. So good call by you, Dennis.
Let's go back to Green Bay and Detroit. I don't know what the Packers did in the offseason. They really didn't sign a whole lot of players.
To warrant being the favorite in that game?
Not only are they the favorite in that game, but you go ahead to week two, they're at home again against the Washington Commanders. They're a favorite in that game, too. Right. I don't know what Vegas sees with the Packers this year. They were 1-5 in division last year and should have been 0-6. I don't see it with Green Bay this year at all.
Good observation. Brad, what do you think?
We've seen a dog-to-favorite line move in that one. Detroit started a 1.5 favorite. Now it's Green Bay 1.5 favorite. And a lot of places you have to lay some chalk with that 1.5, so you might be looking at 2, 2.5 before you. Circa right now has it at 2.5 for Green Bay. So that should tell you a little something where the sharp money's going there. Here's a spot where a lot of people are down on Detroit. You don't hear a lot of buzz on Detroit like you did last year. And this is a team that, what, won 15 games last year or something like that? So, But for all that, you don't hear any buzz on this team right now. Now, you can say whatever you want to about the coach or the quarterback, but you don't hear a lot of buzz on this team. They're playing a very tough division right now. I think this is a spot where I'm with you guys. I don't, I don't like going against dog to favorite line moves, but I love dogs this time of year, and the numbers say September dogs are the best.
What's also intriguing when you look at that game, the over-under line is 48.5. So they're thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game. And if I was to say to you, okay, Detroit and Green Bay, who's going to be a better offense? I don't know of anybody that's saying Green Bay. Yeah. So that one, and normally I kind of have the attitude of, if the line doesn't look right, go with it. But that line still doesn't look right, and I don't think I'm going to go with it. Mm. I think I'm taking Detroit pretty heavy in that one.
I'll tell you right now, guys, that's a stay-away game for me, because just looking at it doesn't make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, to quote the investigator in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, when it doesn't look right, it ain't right. That's confusing all around. That's a stay-away from me. Because I can only assume that Detroit is the better team. And you're right, Beer Man. I have really very little reason to believe the Packers are going to be a good team this year. I know everybody's, whatever, the big hoop and hype over Matthew Golden at wide receiver. Jordan Love is a quarterback that's never had a favorite wide receiver. Why do we think that Matthew Golden is going to be this, the end all?
Over a Tet or, some of these guys. Marvin Harrison didn't start great. The kid up in with the Giants didn't start great. It not only that, I think Romeo Doubs is banged up. Christian Watson is banged up. He's got five people to throw to, but I don't know what the health of that team is right now. So this is one I'm probably going to go in with Detroit on this one. And if Vegas beats me, then you know what? Good for Vegas on that one. But I literally do not see it. That's the game that stands out the most to me. The second one that stands out the most to me is the Los Angeles Rams and Houston Texans. Rams could have the best defense in the league this year. Houston could have one of the worst offensive lines of the year. So, you know, 2.5, that's about where it would, you know, 3, 3.5 would make me want to go the other direction. But Rams, I'm kind of looking at pretty heavily just because of the defense. Dennis, I do like your underpick, and I think Brad liked that one also.
Well, the Texans are going to have a great defense this year too.
Agreed, but their offensive line is not good. It's going to be toward the bottom of the league. And like I said, the Rams pass rush, pretty solid. Their secondary is pretty solid. They're almost going the same direction that Kansas City did a couple years ago, where they had a potent offense, but they started to develop that defense. And one of these years, which could be this year, they kind of have, hey, we still have a solid offense. We have an ascending defense and put together a pretty good team. But, you know, for week one, like you said, we don't know much about Stafford's health, his lower back and stuff along those lines, but I'm going to be heavy on the Rams laying the 2.5, and I'll probably grab that before it gets to 3, if that's the direction that it's going to go.
Well, the idiot talking heads on ESPN and elsewhere will all have us believe that, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals are the only team that are heavy on one side. Mm-hmm. Great offense, horrific defense. That's a pretty commonplace problem in the NFL for most teams. You know, the ball sways to one side or the other. They've either got a good defense and an average offense, or vice versa. You know, I hate how the Bengals get singled out on that. The Texans and Rams are both going to have good defenses, but the offenses are, you know, there's a lot of question marks. Who's going to be running the ball for the Texans? Who's going to be throwing the ball for the Rams? I mean, there's
Nick Chubb has looked pretty decent.
He has.
For the Texans. But Joe Mixon's out for the first couple of weeks.
First 4 or 5 weeks at least.
That's part of the reason that I took Jacksonville to win the division over the Houston Texans. I don't like the offensive line. Defense is solid. C.J. Stroud, I think, was exposed a little bit in the offseason after his rookie year because he looked so-so in year two. So, you know, when you talk about Cincinnati, I do feel a lot more comfortable with Trey Henderson and
Hendrickson.
And Hendrickson, sorry. And their rookie player, Shamar Stewart. Mm. The fact that they're both signed and ready to go. I mean, that's just two big pieces on defense that you didn't know 4 weeks ago if they were going to be in Cincinnati or not.
Well, and let me just say this too, while we're talking about the Bengals, and then we'll move on. The Bengals defense has been much. There's been a lot said about the Bengals defense. What nobody's talking about is the fact that DJ Ivy and Dax Hill are back in the secondary, and Geno Stone had what he even vocally said was a terrible first season with the Bengals. This was a guy that was highly talented out of the Ravens secondary. Mm-hmm. He came to Cincinnati and looked horrible last year. And he came out and said it. Geno Stone is going to be better this year. The two starting cornerbacks, both very young in their second and third and fourth years maybe, are both really good players. They're going to stand out. They're going to be a lot better on defense than what people are saying. Now, how good on defense, I don't know. But I feel like I have to interject that because nobody wants to talk about specific players other than, oh, they had the Trey Hendrickson hold in. Oh, they had the Shedeur Sanders contract issue. I mean, it's all BS.
Shamar Stewart. You said
Shamar Stewart. Yeah. we'll get it right between the two of us. Well,
but having those two pieces, which your first round pick and, let's be honest, your all-star on defense, I just feel better knowing that those two are going to be there. 4 weeks ago when you weren't 100% sure, you know, that's where I was questioning things. I think Cincinnati has probably gone from a really bad defense to an average defense. An average, I think, with that offense is going to make for a whole lot better season. I still don't think they're better than the Ravens in that division. But, you know, Joe Burrow in the playoffs, you know, all bets are off. He can certainly win a game by himself. Brad, what do you got?
I'm sorry, I'm replying to this email here. Do you want to play Alan Cutler's Homeless Airport Dwellers? Let me think here. That's an email I got. I don't know who might have sent this to me, but I'll figure that out later. Go ahead.
The admission, the cost to play in that league Brad is one poopy dollar.
It's also $144 to stay at an airport little outhouse room there. So there you go. So money.
All very inside stuff.
Uh-huh. It's money that I'll never see again. But that's okay. Thank you to all involved. Bengals, nine wins this year for them, for me. So many people are telling me how great the Bengals are going to be this year. And if you look at these fantasy drafts, Chase Brown flying up the charts, is a second round pick in so many leagues now, is Chase Brown. Do we really think that this offense is going to score enough points to trump that defense out? I'm not so sure. So that's my thing with the Bengals. It's great to have all those names on offense, but just like Dan Fouts and the Chargers taught me when I was a kid, you can have the best offense you've ever seen, but you still got to stop people too.
Whatever.
Oh, thank you. Nice reply as we go on. So anything else now in the NFL as we are getting ready for week one next week? Plenty of division games. All the quarterbacks now are officially in place. We know all 32 starting quarterbacks. Is there anything that you guys have seen this preseason that might change your mind on what you were thinking about maybe 6 weeks ago?
My one question to both of you would be, what is the team that you look at that seems to be the most Jekyll and Hyde, where you're like, this team could win 5 games or this team could win 11 games? And, you know, listening to other people talk sports, Seattle is the most confusing team out there. I've got some people saying they're fourth place in the division. I've got other people that think they're going to make a relatively deep run in the playoffs. So I'm just curious what you all think is the one team where you're going back and forth thinking, I don't know where to go with these guys.
Well, the Cowboys are on that list for sure. And I'm with you on the Seattle. I just don't think Seattle's going to be good this year.
I didn't either, but there's like some people I trust that think they're going to win that division.
Sure.
Brad?
Minnesota. That's an easy call for me. Absolutely
that
easy
is a good
call. Because it's all about one person. It's about that quarterback. And you could say everything you wanted to about the quarterback they had last year and they coached him up and all this stuff. Do we know anything about J.J. McCarthy? We don't, in reality. And, you know, Minnesota could win 12 games this year. They could win 6. It's all depending on that quarterback. And that's the one polarizing team that I look at and say, I don't even know. If you made the win total 8.5, I don't know. I don't have an opinion one way or the under. I don't know which way I would go on that one. So, yeah, Minnesota is easily the most polarizing team for me because of one guy, their quarterback.
One sentence from each of you on your thoughts for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Aaron Rodgers is old. You know, the defense, in my opinion, is going to be a little worse. I think they're below 500.
Brad?
The streak is over. Under 500. 8 wins for the Steelers this year. It's over.
Mm-hmm. Did they lose player in preseason that they were pretty high on?
They traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
Which was baffling because they really don't have a very good secondary.
They tout their secondary like it's good. Their linebackers.
But without Minkah, it's...
But I don't... I'm not buying it just yet. I don't believe that Joey Porter Jr. is all that. I still want to see more from him. I know he's, like, what is it? This will be fourth season for Joey Porter?
I think third. He's made some flashes, but I also feel like he was one of those picks in the draft that when he was available, there's a lot of people that were like, Pittsburgh, you got to take him just because of
Joey Porter,
because of his dad, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Brad. I think the streak is over. A lot of people talking that Pittsburgh is a playoff team. I don't see it either.
As of the day of this podcast, boys, we are 8 days away from the Cowboys and Eagles. Thursday night football next week. Friday night football, a bonus night with the Chiefs and the Chargers. And then the slate of games on Sunday, culminating with an incredible Sunday night game. The Ravens visiting Buffalo to take on the Bills. The over-under 51.5 in that game. Where are you, Brad?
That's the one game I don't like among all of them, because you're going to give me Lamar Jackson on the road as a dog. I love it. But then again, it's at Buffalo. I will take I'll take Baltimore in the points, I can promise you. But it's not one that I feel 100% great about. So, yeah.
Beer man?
I've got Baltimore in the Super Bowl. But this is one of those where you feel like, okay, let's say Buffalo wins this game. I think Baltimore gets them in the playoffs. If Baltimore wins this game, part of me feels like Buffalo gets them in the playoffs kind of thing. So I'm going back and forth. I'll probably stay away from this game, but if I had to put money on it, I'm probably leaning toward Baltimore. Just the run game is significantly better than what Buffalo has.
I'm all in on Baltimore in this game. When they got, let's not forget that they got ousted in the playoffs last year, a game that they probably should have won. They also got ousted in week one last year by Kansas City, a game that they should have won. I don't think they make the mistake again this year. And I'm also slightly down on Buffalo. Buffalo will win that division this year. But
easily.
I don't know that Buffalo is going to be that great of a team this year.
Buffalo's definitely going to make a deep run in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Not in mine.
But it's, you know, you look at Buffalo, you look at Baltimore. I think you still look at Cincinnati. And Kansas City's not going to be an easy out, assuming that they make the playoffs. I think the Broncos are going to be able to beat anybody on any given Sunday. And I think the Chargers could potentially be the same way. The AFC, at the end of the day, is still stacked. I don't think it's as stacked as it was a handful of years ago. And the NFC is slowly coming up. But Buffalo is still there toward the top.
Brad, you want to weigh in on that?
Buffalo's got the easy schedule. I'll give them that much. They definitely have the easy schedule. Most regular season wins right now. Buffalo, the favorite, plus 350. Ravens, second favorite. Chiefs, third favorite. Those are three different divisions of the AFC. That should tell you a little something. But yeah, Buffalo definitely has the schedule advantage, to say the least. Between they and Baltimore, that would be the good place to look for a number one seed kind of wager, which I would probably go with Baltimore. I think I'm with you, Dennis. I think they get this one at Buffalo. Lamar Jackson as an underdog is great over the years against the number especially. So, yeah, this is a spot where I'm looking to take Baltimore on the road against the Buffalo Bills. But I don't feel great about it because Buffalo's good, but it'll be a great game to watch. That's what I'm looking at. But do we really believe in Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl? I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure either. Monday night will culminate week one, the Vikings at the Bears. We've discussed this game at length. Any more thoughts on that one before we wrap?
I'm taking the Bears in that one.
Truth be told, I'm going back and forth. I love everything that I saw from Chicago out of the preseason, but like Brad said, Minnesota is such a question mark that you don't know what it's going to be. I feel better on the Bears for the simple fact that A, their head coach, Ben Johnson, and B, J.J. McCarthy starting his first game on Monday Night Football on the road. They did not do that guy any favors. You know, Jordan Addison's going to be out. So I'm leaning toward the Bears, and I'm not trying to be a fan on that one because I am nervous about it, but I think both defenses are going to be really, really good. I just like the offense with JJ still no experience under his belt, in Chicago a little bit better.
Adam Thielen returning to the Minnesota Vikings announced, I believe, earlier today.
Yeah.
Thielen will be covering possibly the spot that will be vacated for a few weeks by Jordan Addison during his suspension. It'll be an interesting game for sure, and let's not forget the quarterback whisperer, Kevin O'Connell.
Hey, Ben Johnson's pretty solid, too.
Closing thoughts, fellas?
I have a question real quick. Would you guys like to talk about 2 minutes of college football before we get out of here?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Toledo and Kentucky. This summer, Kentucky was a 10.5-point favorite. And then 4 weeks ago, they went down to a 9.5-point favorite. And then the next week, they were 8.5. Then they were 7.5. But in the last 48 hours of this podcast, Kentucky's got the sharp action. They're back up to a 9.5-point favorite over Toledo. Total's gone from 48.5 to 47.5. Kentucky has a 4.5 win total this year. Your guys' thoughts? Week one against Toledo and their 4.5 win total, over or under?
I'm taking Toledo in the points.
I'm going to go with Kentucky. I've said before, they're going to struggle to win six games this year. They're probably not going to win six. So I think the ones that they are considered the better team, they have got to play with everything they got. Opening day, they're going to be pretty excited. They're at home. That's a big deal. You know, it may be that it's a back-and-forth seven-point game for the majority of the game, and Kentucky gets a late score. But I'm going to lean with Kentucky in this one. But I don't like the over. I would lean more toward the under in this one.
I'm not going to touch the total, but if you're going to give me 9.5 in Toledo in this spot, I will take it. Absolutely. Because you see that total, one of our favorite systems, road dogs in college football, when the total is less than 50, it leaves the favorite with very little wiggle room to cover that spread, and that's what you have in this one. And do you trust a Kentucky football team ever? I never do. So I'm taking the points in Toledo in this one. How about, real quick, there are three games involving ranked teams in week one, including number one versus number three, I guess. Number one, Texas. Number three, Ohio State. Ohio State, your home team, and a 1.5-point favorite. Your guys' thoughts on that one, if any?
I love Texas in this game. I'm going to take them on the money line. I'm stunned that they're an underdog, being the number one team in the country, which, you know, you and I had the discussion about preseason rankings. But, Texas, I feel like the momentum is definitely going their way. They've got a good coach down there. They've got what could be, you know, the next great quarterback in Arch Manning. No disrespect to Ohio State. They're obviously going to be there at the end of the year, and props to them for scheduling this game. But I'm just leaning a little bit toward Texas in that one. And, you know, if it's 1.5, just give me the money line and I'll try to get a couple extra pennies.
Okay, I think I would take Texas here on the money line as well. And that would be how I play this game. Game number two, number 9 LSU at number 4 Clemson. And if you look at the numbers, these are the two best quarterbacks that are returning. Don't give me any of this Arch Manning stuff. By the way, one of the dumbest bets you can make right now, Arch Manning Heisman Trophy. He's 6-1. There's no way he lives up to the hype in any way, shape, or form. And even if he does, that's still a bad bet. At 6-1, the guy's never started a game. Okay, LSU at Clemson. Clemson is a short favorite here of 3.5 over LSU, Beer Man.
I love LSU right here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really pay attention to what Clemson brought in, but I saw a handful of their games last year, and they had the advantage of being in a weak ACC. LSU, I said, is my sneaky team to potentially win a national championship this year. I like LSU. I'm stunned that they're an underdog in this one, but I'm all over LSU on the money line, even though it's in Death Valley at night. But Louisville went in there last year at night and really dismantled Clemson. I don't expect LSU. I fully expect LSU to kind of dominate this game.
I am with you, Beer Man. It is a spot where if you play both Texas and LSU on the money line, one of them wins, you make a profit if you bet the same amount in each game, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm taking LSU on the road. Best returning quarterback, Nussmeier from LSU. That's the guy to look at in terms of maybe a Heisman this year. So, yeah, I love LSU at Clemson, just like Texas at Ohio State. By the way, before we get into our last game, Louisville is playing at home against Eastern Kentucky. This line opened with Louisville, a 40.5-point favorite. Now it's down to 38.5, Beer Man.
Again, a spread that's that big, I'm not touching at all.
I'm not either, but
easiest
you're sure.
Way to put it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I went to EKU, but I grew up in Louisville. I'm just going to cheer for a good game is the best way to put it.
I grew up in Richmond, Kentucky, but I grew up in Atlanta. Give me the Cardinals. Lay the chalk against Eastern in that one. But let's get to the last game. It is the Monday night game. Notre Dame and Florida. And Miami, Florida. Excuse me. Both these teams in the top 10. Notre Dame number 6. Miami number 10. Notre Dame 2.5-point road favorite. Who do we like in this one, Beer Man?
Notre Dame typically comes out each year unpredictable. But, you know, Miami is – they lost a handful of pieces, including Cam Ward. I think Notre Dame is going to be the one favorite that I'm going to take right here and go with the Fighting Irish. They've been doing a pretty good job at building that team up year after year after year. And, of course, all those guys are pretty smart. So it's not a knock against Miami, but I don't think Miami – I think Miami is potentially the fourth best team in the ACC. I think 10 is a little high for them, but I do think Notre Dame is a legit number 6 through 8. So give me the Fighting Irish in this one on the road as a favorite.
Probably the worst game coach in college football is Cristobal from Miami. So I will take Notre Dame. When ranked teams get together in a spot like this, it's a spot with the road. If the road team is favored, they do very well against the spread over the years. I'm taking Notre Dame as well. So we agree on all three of these, Beer Man. That's not good news for me, I can tell you that. So there you go, folks. That's our college football week one preview. And if the Beer Man has any other cupcake games, because there were a lot of cupcake games this week, in addition to these big rank matchups, if the Beer Man has any cupcake delights that he likes, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I've not looked at college football all that much outside of the bigger games. You know, I've looked at literally the ones that we talked about. And not much else. So it's going to be a little busy over the next couple of days. Boise State playing tomorrow. They're a 5.5-point favorite at South Florida. I don't like them traveling across the country. I think Boise State could potentially win that game, but I think I'm going to take South Florida plus 5.5 there. That's about the only game that I've looked at on the Thursday lineup that I've kind of paid attention to. So, you know, take that for what you will, but I do like South Florida to cover the spread against Boise State.
There you go, folks. Our college football week one preview. Back to you, Dennis.
Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast live.
Can't hear him.
Wednesday night, ready for.
Oh, sorry.
Turn on your mic.
God. Bottom Line Sports. What?
Your butt smells like a what? Who?
Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast live from Lexington on behalf of Beer Man from Classic Rock 92.1. My name is Dead Air Dennis. Brad, send us home.
Thanks so much for listening. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.